welcome to A Voice of a People, live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, cell phones, iPhones, laptops, or computers, and search WWGH and take advantage of the many programs we offer you. If you would like to call in, make any comments, or ask any questions while we're on the air from 4:15 until 5 p.m. this evening, please call 740-383-9944. Let me also share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Simply show up, provide your name, number of people in your family. Do not forget your ID, state ID, or your driver's license. Okay. We have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number there is 740-262-0939. And they are in LaRue, Ohio. I have a thought for you today, and it's titled, Creating Harmony. Love dissolves hate. Kindness melts cruelty. Compassion calms passion. Cooperation evokes love, and we bow. Others bend. This creates harmony. I have with me today one of my favorites, Tim Combs. He is a former history teacher of the Marion City Schools here in Marion, Ohio, and we also call him our political historian. He's just really good, and like one of my proteges just said, he never leaves a stone unturned, and we're looking forward to him catching up. It's been a few months since he's been here, and how are you doing today, Tim?
Fine.
Doing good?
Yeah, yes, doing very good.
Did you take any wild vacation?
Oh, yeah, we were on vacation in June with members of our family, about 15 of us down in Destin, Florida. So,
really?
Yeah, okay. So it was a nice time.
Good weather there?
Yeah, it was very excellent weather, so, yeah. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Did you fly down or drive?
Well, actually, our daughter and her family live north of Atlanta. We flew down there, and then our daughter had rented a van that about seven of us went down with a dog. It was two dogs down to Destin from Atlanta to there, and then came back there, and then we flew back home.
Okay.
Then, so, yeah.
That made it kind of short.
Yeah.
That trip.
About a week's vacation. That's nice good. House and everything we were in. So, yeah.
That's good. Do you like rent a cabin?
Yeah, well, yeah. Our daughter has. We've been doing this for a number of years now. Yes, it was a nice house, three-story house actually that we were in. Yeah, it was nice. So
sounds nice.
Yeah,
sounds nice. And that was in June.
In June.
Okay.
Yep.
We
missed the monsoon that you had there. I think about Friday or Saturday or whatever that you had like six, seven inches of rain or something, or whatever.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yes. We did have a rainy summer.
Yeah. It's generally been dry now since about the middle of July, but we've had, of course, today was a little rain here the last day or two, but
right.
I think the rest of the week's supposed to be pretty good. So
that's true. Turned to green. The grass green again.
Yeah.
It sure has. Now that means you get out the lawnmower.
Right?
Oh, I thought that was over. But it's good to see you, and I'm glad you
came to visit us
today. And I know you got some juicy stuff for us.
It's been a busy time. I don't forget the last time I was here several months ago.
Yeah,
and a lot of things have happened and are happening and so forth. As I say, I almost didn't know where to begin because I put some notes here where we're at.
Start local. Or
yeah, local, nationally, internationally, whatever. So let me begin with about 2 weeks ago, there was these raids by ICE of Mississippi. I think chicken farms, whatever, and about 680 or so undocumented workers were arrested by ICE. ICE is short for Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Okay.
And these people were undocumented, no doubt about it. Okay. But they were doing jobs. They were, I mean, these people were not criminals. They were family people. Many of them had been here for some time, working in jobs that, frankly, many people don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they were rounded up and hauled out to jail and so forth. I think a number of them have since been released. But the thing was, I mean, let me give you a quote and kind of describing maybe a similar situation by this young lady.
Okay.
Terrible things are happening outside. Any time of night or day, poor people are being dragged out of their homes. Families are torn apart. Men, women, and children are separated. Children come home from schools to find their parents have disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you might say, well, was that talking about Mississippi? No. These are words written over 75 years ago by another young girl who I'm sure you've heard of and others have heard of. It comes from the diary of Anne Frank.
Oh, yeah.
And she was talking about when the Nazis in her occupied Amsterdam,
yeah.
Holland,
okay.
were dragging others, Jews, whatever, out of. And, of course, for a couple of years, her family stayed hidden in a upstairs attic in Amsterdam until they were exposed and arrested by the Germans. And then she was in the concentration camp until I think it was like March or April of 45, just weeks before liberation and the end of the war. And then unfortunately died of typhus. And of course, then her biography, her diary of Anne Frank, was published about 2 or 3 years after the war.
Has
been translated in a number of languages around the world. And
that was,
of course, made into a movie, early 60s and
early 60s.
So forth.
Right.
But the fact that some people might think, well, boy, was he talking about Mississippi? Well, it's almost the sort of thing that happened there.
Right.
You had, I think you may have remembered or may have seen the picture of the young girl who was crying because her parents were not criminals or anything. They were left with no parents coming home. There were no, I mean, these children were, you know, no parents, whatever. And some people had to come in and try to, the schools had not been notified. I mean, they do nothing.
Right.
Now, my question is, where have the employers been arrested? Where have the companies been arrested?
Everyone was.
And the fact of the matter is, that number is zero. And I can tell you right now, it will remain zero.
And they'll do it.
And again. Like I say, they it was Mr. Trump's ICE that did this. Well, Mr. Trump's businesses have over the years employed undocumented workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see him or any of his employers face these criminal charges.
Right.
But others have been arrested. So I think that was one thing that has happened in these last few weeks. And, of course, it's all part of the immigration controversy and discussion going on. And the thing with children at the detention centers in southern Texas and so forth. And that brings up another issue. Within the last few days, you know, the matter of getting shots for flu. Well, apparently, whoever has decided that these children will not be receiving any kind of flu immunizations for, and they gave some trumped up reason. Please forgive the pun, trumped up reason. But you know, and various public health people said this is not only cruel; it's dangerous.
Yes, very dangerous.
So I mean, and again, this is, you know, the kind of things that is going on.
Right.
Let me say this: you know, for 3 or 4 years. That I was at Marion Harding High School teaching mostly American history, American government.
Right.
History has both a short-term memory and also a very long-term memory. Let me give you a long-term example of something. Let me just, first of all, say Franklin Roosevelt was a great president, one of our greatest presidents ever.
Okay.
But there was one element of his administration that has been condemned over the years, even condemned at the time, but particularly condemned over the years. In those months and days after Pearl Harbor, and a lot of anti-Japanese hysteria, if you will. Some ways, after 9/11, you had the anti-Islamic hysteria.
Right.
And one of the things that happened was, because of the war situation, the law was approved allowing the government to remove people from the so-called Western Defense Perimeter, basically the states of California, Oregon, and Washington State.
Okay.
And what happened was, persons of Japanese ancestry who were U.S. citizens, born and raised in the U.S., but of Japanese ancestry, the so-called Nisi or Isi,
mm-hmm.
lost basically all their property, whatever was placed in internment camps for the period of the war.
Right.
And in fact, there would be a 1944 Supreme Court case, Kamasu versus the United States, where the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 7-2 decision, ruled that it was a justifiable wartime emergency action. But in the years, over the years since then, there's been, you know, various things to try to compensate these people in some way for what happened to them.
Right.
And so, as I say, history has a long memory. And I will simply say that some of the things happening now are 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, when people look back on it and historians write the books, I don't think part of the Trump administration is going to look very, very good in this, in that regard. It's going to be a... Well, I think it's going to be, you know, when you have this thing about, you know, of course, the famous poem on the base of the Statue of Liberty by Emma Lazarus about some of you huddled masses wanting to be free.
That's true.
And then say that they have to have certain economic standards to be able to immigrate to the U.S. If that's the case, I mean, 100 years ago when you had your basically European immigration from Eastern and Southern Europe, mm-hmm. and that's when a lot of the immigration laws were approved. Because up until then, most of the immigration to the U.S. had come from Northern Europe, German, English background. But when suddenly the immigration began to shift into Southern Eastern Europe, people of Catholic or Jewish or other religious backgrounds, that's when there was a shift in trying to pass some of these immigration kinds of laws.
Right.
And then about the mid-60s, we kind of hopefully took care of some of that.
Yes.
And then, but then now we're in this controversy.
Well, you know, our president said if you come in here illegally, you have to leave.
Yeah, well, that, and the thing is, at first it was said about people who were doing criminal action. These individuals in this Mississippi, they weren't criminals.
Right.
They were just hardworking people who were trying to get through and get a better life for their families and their children. There was someone headed here a week or so ago, and I think, I know it was Mississippi, it may have been Alabama or someplace down there. It's these chicken processing plants, which is apparently a horrendous type of work.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently someplace where they had rounded up immigrants and plants, they said, we need workers. So the state brought in some prisoners to do some of this work. After a week, they said, send us back to jail. We don't want to do this kind of stuff. I mean, that just shows you how kinds of jobs these are.
Right.
Not even persons who are... who are
locked
being confined, but you want to do it. So
they've got too lax.
So
too comfortable.
Okay, let me move on to something else.
Okay.
In the last week or so, we've heard about this Greenland issue, purchasing or buying of Greenland. Now, first of all, Greenland is a Danish territory. Denmark owns the property. And Denmark has made it very clear Greenland is not for sale, not now, not ever, and will not be sold. Now, have we done business with Denmark before issues? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. Virgin Islands were actually the Danish Virgin Islands until 1917 when World War One was raging. And, of course, at that point, the Panama Canal was only about 3 years old. The United States wanted to have control of the access, a couple hundred mile access to Panama. So at that time, the U.S. entered into negotiations with Denmark, and for $25 million, we purchased what was then the Danish Virgin Islands, and of course they became the U.S. Virgin Islands, and adjacent to them are the British Virgin Islands. And of course they've been a tourist thing in these 100 or so years since.
Right.
But again, if you want to have an actual serious discussion about purchasing property, you don't send out a tweet in the middle of the night or whatever to do this. You get into negotiations behind the scenes,
right,
and so forth. And as I say, the Danish prime, and then when they were supposed to go to, or Mr. Trump was supposed to make a state visit to Denmark, suddenly canceled it 2 days before they were to leave because he said the Danish prime minister made a nasty comment, and when she simply said Greenland's not for sale.
Was that nasty?
So I don't know. Now, we actually have an Air Force base in northern Greenland, above the Arctic Circle. Denmark has been a long-time NATO ally, and the Danish people are great people and so forth. So to be, and to treat those people like that, and then to treat Mr. Putin as a big bosom friend, or Mr. Kim Il-sung, the leader of North Korea, I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No.
So.
He's fascinated with them, you know, right?
Another thing, of course, tragically, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had the El Paso and Dayton shooting just within about 32 hours of each other.
That was devastating, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh. And I will say this. I'll just put it right now in terms of the El Paso. The man who did the young man who did that shooting came from a suburban Dallas. And it was like about a 10-12 hour drive to get to El Paso. And he said because he was concerned about this Hispanic invasion or whatever. Those words could have almost been said by Mr. Trump.
Right.
And a friend of mine was concerned, my view is Mr. Trump has blood in his hands. Oh. In fact, I think the Republican Party has blood in their hands because of their relationship with the NRA. And I would tell Mr. Wayne LaPierre, the leader of the NRA, either get with the program in terms of background checks or red flag laws or whatever, or get the hell out of the way so that we can go ahead and get something accomplished.
True.
So, that was obviously horrendous. And the poor gentleman whose wife was killed, it was Walmart where this happened, didn't have any immediate family, so he invited the community of El Paso to come to the funeral, and then people turned out big time. And all the expenses, and not for all these victims, but El Paso, Dayton, for funeral expenses were taken care of, handled. And I think a couple thousand people for this man. And of course, then just hours later came the Dayton shooting. Sure. And this, again, a troubled young man who should never had any weapons, whatever. Of course, it was his own sister was one of the nine victims. And again, we'll never know because obviously he was killed by the police in the shootout. Did he target her because of she had a boyfriend with her? Who knows?
He didn't care. He just wanted to accomplish.
And
was on his mind, I guess.
So of course, Governor DeWine has introduced a series of measures on those issues. We'll see where that goes. 2 weeks without Congress will be coming back. The General Assembly's coming back, and we'll see what happens
that's
in both
they
those
were
bridges.
Out, right?
Yeah, they've been out.
So the fire has kind of
That's the thing. And as I say, though, I think this time there's going to be when the Congress and the General Assembly come back, the pressure is going to be really intense. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, I think is going to be forced to do something. Because he has some members of his Senate who are up for election next year. Mm-hmm. Cory Gardner in Colorado, deep trouble. State that actually went for Hillary Clinton. And now the former governor and former presidential candidate, John Hickenlooper, is running for the Senate seat in Colorado. And I think I've seen polling that has him anywhere running 13, 14 points ahead of Mr. Gardner. My guess is Cory Gardner is probably going to be gone.
Right.
Susan Collins in Maine, a woman who has been there for years, thought to be safe. Her vote for Brett Kavanaugh last October and other things have really upset a lot of people in Maine, and she's now going to face some real, real struggle to get reelected in Maine.
Wow.
And then there may be some other people. You have the thing with the trade thing. Farmers are suffering greatly with that. Senator Joni Ernst in Iowa is up for reelection next year, and I don't know whether the Democrats have come up with a candidate yet for the office. My personal choice would be that the former governor and former Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, would be an excellent candidate for that position. And of course, they did pick up a couple of congressional seats there back in November. And then, of course, you have their one congressman, Steve King, who is basically a white nationalist. I mean, and again, of course, there was the vote at the end of July condemning Mr. Trump as a racist for his comments concerning the four women of color who were the congresspeople, Alicia Cortez from New York, Angela Presley from Massachusetts, Tlaib, I forget her first name, from Michigan, then Omar, whatever, from Minnesota, Minneapolis area, and the so-called squad, and so on. Totally. So those issues are out there and so forth.
So did Mitch McConnell pick up a new nickname?
Yeah, he's been called Moscow Mitch because of his actually what's happened is there was a company or whatever that was interested in bringing something to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And McConnell blocked something from past that would have upset the Russians. And so now they're putting $15 million of some sort of business aid into Kentucky. And so, and also the matter of the election bills that dealing with Russian election interference. Right. And so that's why he's been now dubbed Moscow Mitch. Mm. And Perry's not one he's not particularly happy with that with that title. Just saw an actually ad by Amy McGrath, who was a retired Marine aviator, mm-hmm. who's running against him. She actually ran for Congress last year in the Lexington area. Made a strong bid, didn't win, but she's now running for the Senate seat. Right. And she had an ad just out here in the last week or so. A group of miners went to Kentucky or onto D.C. to try to get meet with McConnell on a black lung measure.
Okay.
He met with them for all of 1 minute and then was on his way, and they were not happy with that. And
guess not.
So, and she had the ad, the full ad. It was a rather powerful ad, and I guess is, you're going to see that. And my guess is the Moscow Mitch thing is going to continue to be one that you're going to hear more and more about as time goes on.
Right. He's up for re-election.
He's up for re-election next year, yes. He is the majority leader. And Mitch McConnell's been around for a number of years. Mm-hmm. He's, there's no doubt about it. He's a tough, wily political figure.
Oh, yeah.
In Kentucky.
Stronghold.
Now, actually, his Kentucky is one of the states held an election for governor this year. The older state elections in okay. the odd-numbered year. And their governor, Matt Bloven, who's a Republican, is facing a very tough re-election. He's being challenged, actually, by the state attorney general, Andy Beshear, whose father... was Steve Beshear, was the former two-term Democratic governor of Kentucky.
Okay.
So, you know, if Mr. Bloven should end up getting upended from the governorship in Kentucky, it could be a signal that the Kentuckians are not particularly happy with what things are happening.
Yeah, so, could be. We'll yeah. find out, won't we?
Yeah. Let me get down here locally.
All right.
Sue McGowan is an independent candidate for mayor. At least she is at this point. Ms. McGowan filed as an independent candidate back in May. Now, the filing deadline was the day before the primary, in the primary / special election. The only primary election that happened that day was the contest for the 5th Ward Democratic nomination between Tanner Hale and Tara Dyer.
Right.
So only 5th Ward Democrats were eligible to vote, or people voted in the 5th Ward Democratic primary. Ms. McGowan chose to vote in that Democratic primary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is my understanding, and again... maybe a little hazier on this, that at that point then she really became ineligible to run as an independent candidate. A protest was filed by former city councilman Mike Thomas against her candidacy here earlier in August. Now, apparently he missed the deadline of July 31st to file this protest. But frankly, I'm not sure that's really even at this point relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what's happened is the board election split 2-2. On the matter of removing her from the ballot as an independent candidate.
Oh.
Because you did vote the Democratic primary. So what happens is in Ohio, and we have 88 counties in Ohio, 88 right. county boards of election, if there is a 2-2 tie vote, then the decision goes to the Secretary of State,
mm-hmm.
in this case Frank LaRose. He is a Republican. But he actually already broke one tie earlier this year dealing with the matter of the removal of the previous director of elections.
Okay.
And he actually sided with the two Democrats at the time. And so then the previous director was removed. He acts in his capacity as the state's chief elections officer. The Secretary of State is called an ex officio member of all 88 county boards of election.
Okay.
Each side prepares their cases. They send them down to the Secretary of State. And then presumably the Secretary of State's legal staff, election law attorneys, and so forth, look at that. Write up something and then make a recommendation to the Secretary of State to how to break the tie. So we'll have to see what happens here the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'm guessing by mid-September this will be decided because they have to get the ballots printed.
She missed her voting ballot time in the
last. What she should have done at the May primary was voted issues only,
okay.
which for her. Which is, she was in the city of Marion and the Marion City School District. The only thing she would have been voting on would have been the developmental issue,
right.
the MDD issue.
Right. The one vote.
And that was, you know, she likely voted on it when she did vote in the primary. Mm-hmm. But that should be the only thing she should have voted on. It's called issues only.
Right.
And so we'll see what happens with that. Okay. And
she might not even be eligible to continue.
As an independent candidate, right. As I say, right now it's a tie vote, and her destiny lies in the hands of Frank LaRosa, Secretary of State.
So what happened to McCants?
He did not get enough ballot signatures, so he was ruled off the ballot. He could he did not have enough ballot signatures.
Okay.
That happened back in, I think, June or whatever it was. So,
I know, because I heard that there were two others, maybe three, that was going to be against our mayor, which is, this would be his third.
He's running for his...
Or fourth.
Let's see, I'm trying to think. He looked at 07. He's running for his fourth term.
His fourth term.
Yeah.
Okay. So. And that's the actual vote will take place?
In November. November general
this
election.
Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
So.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to leave you here for one brief moment on another matter that is not any kind of political thing.
Okay.
Some of you might have heard the fact that Marianne Withrow is being honored by the Marion City Schools with, I think, a building or something being named in her honor in terms of the middle school or high school. The used to be Rushmore Academy or whatever. But she has been identified as Secretary of the Treasury. Now, Marianne's a great lady. I know her personally. Mm-hmm. But she was not Secretary of the Treasury. That's the person who's actually in the President's Cabinet.
Okay.
She was the United States Treasurer.
Right.
Which is a position within the Treasury Department.
Right.
And she was named by during President Bill Clinton. And she had been very active in the Al Gore campaign a few years earlier, mm-hmm. and that's how they came to know her. And, of course, she had been, at the time when she was named U.S. Treasurer, she was the Ohio State Treasurer. Mm-hmm. And, of course, previously, years ago, she was the Marion County Treasurer. So, so she's the only individual who's held the position of Treasurer in all three levels of government. Local, right. State, and federal. But again, she was not Secretary of the Treasury. That's the person who's actually in the President's Cabinet. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that for people. They've been hearing her being referred to as the Secretary of the Treasury. That's incorrect. So.
Okay. We'll have to correct that. I think that was on Facebook. I saw that. Yeah.
So, as I said, a lot of things happening these last few weeks and months, and I'm sure as the time comes next weeks and months happen, more will be happening.
Right.
As I say, the Congress is back in 2 weeks. The House General Assembly back in 2 weeks. The gun matters are going to be hot and heavy. Now concerns about, are we going into a recession because of the tariff issue?
Yeah.
The stock market has been all over the place. I don't know what they did today. But, it's been up, down. I mean,
it's possible we could have a recession if it doesn't stabilize. Well,
the concern is, frankly, Mr. Trump's rather interesting way of governing or doing things has really upset the business community.
Mm.
Because what business likes and what investors like is stability.
Right.
They like to know what's going to happen down the road.
Right.
At this point, they don't have that.
Right.
And so the result is long-term plans.
Right.
There's a thing called the inverted yield curve. Now, I'm not getting into the weeds here in terms of economics.
Okay.
But what this boils down to is this. Interest rates, of course, you have short-term rates, you have long-term rates.
Mm-hmm.
The long-term investors, 2 years, 3 years down the road,
okay,
they're the ones that are sort of pulling back at this point. And that has been, over the years, a reliable signal, mm-hmm, of a possible recession or every recession.
Right.
But we'll have to wait and see what happens. There was here just a report out a week or so ago that the number of jobs that were created over the last, 6-7 months was about 500,000 fewer than had previously been reported.
Mm.
It was not as many as had been thought had been created.
Right, so, right, right.
So that's just a kind of a rundown of things that have been happening. And as I say, I'm sure that we'll be hearing more as these next few weeks and months. Of course, we have local elections in November.
True.
City elections, boards of education, township trustees, township fiscal officers, your village officials, so forth, being elected, all, right. not only in Marion County, but all over the state. There is no statewide issue at this time, or no, well, there will not be any statewide issue this
that
year.
That will be on the ballot.
Now, there is a possibility, and we'll have to wait and see how this all plays out.
Right.
A year from now, in November 2020, there could be a very controversial statewide issue that has to do with this House Bill 6 on this energy thing about the nuclear plants and aid or whatever for them.
Right.
And, I mean, you're already seeing ads. I frankly think they're almost scare ads to try to get people not to sign if these petitions become available to put this issue on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of newspapers in the state were not happy with this House Bill 6
right.
being approved. And so, as I say, we'll see how that all plays out. We have to wait and see how it happens if they do get on the ballot. As a referendum on House Bill 6,
right.
we'd have to go to the November 2020 general election ballot. So we're talking a whole over a year away at this point.
Right. And since you brought up 2020, you know, the president wants Putin and some other people from overseas to come to the summit.
Yeah, and next year,
right.
each of those is called the G7.
G7, yes.
France held it hosted this year.
Right.
United States hosts it next year.
Okay.
And in fact, supposedly, Mr. Trump's Mar-a-Lago thing and club or whatever in Florida is one of the, maybe looking at hosting it. That would seem to me to be a conflict of interest. Big time.
You think so?
Said it should be something totally away from anything that he has interest in. He says supposedly he's not going to make any money, but I mean the optics of it are very, very not looking good.
Right, right.
So anyhow, but again, I don't think on his own he could invite Putin to be on the, unless he'd have the other members of the G7. Because originally for a time, Russia was part, they called the G8. But Russia got kicked out when they did the invasion on Ukraine here about six, seven years ago.
That's when they outsmarted
And so
President
then went back
Obama,
down to the G7.
Right.
You know, of course, he's the top economic right. powers in the world.
He said that's when Putin outsmarted Obama, President Obama.
Well, we'll see.
G8. But they were scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
They went and took over that country, invaded that
yeah.
country.
Well, it didn't take over, but they invaded, took over
they
portion
invaded,
of it.
Right,
yeah,
right.
The Crimea portion of the Ukraine.
And
which,
that's why they
of course, Ukraine one time was part of the old Soviet Union.
Right.
But now it's an independent nation. Regained its sovereignty as an independent nation after the breakup of the Soviet Union at the end of 1991. So.
I guess I do want to ask you this. What is his fascination with Putin? And I think it's the prime minister or president of Japan? Or is that China?
North Korea.
North Korea. And there's one more, the one in China, who's going to be president.
Yeah, well, it seems like he likes those persons who are authoritarian type rulers.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what, because he wants to be an authoritarian type ruler.
I think he does.
And I'm sure he's really frustrated because of the fact, particularly with a Democratic House of Representatives, he does not have total control that he had the first 2 years when the Republicans had the Senate and the House.
Right.
And so now
that
he's.
That could change next year.
Yeah, well, and.
Oh, but that's President.
You know, of course, you had several Democratic candidates have dropped out or whatever. Right now, based on polling and everything we see, you'd have to think that Joe Biden, the former vice president, has the edge to be the Democratic nominee for president.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that might be going for him is that people, I don't think the American people want us to do another 4 years of what can only be described as this insanity that we've been going mm-hmm. through. I guess, I mean, that is, bring sanity back to Washington, because it has just been, it was almost like watching a carnival. And you know.
But you know, the evangelical community loves him.
Well, what they love is the court appointments, whatever, for members of the federal district dealing with other, well, particularly issues
Supreme
of abortion,
court,
that kind
yeah,
of thing, and so
yeah.
forth. But, you know, you have to wonder, I mean, it's said that Mussolini was in Italy during the war, that he, one of his attributes was he got the trains running on time.
Mm-hmm.
German workers in the 30s thought it was great because full employment, whatever. but you know, led down the road, or what you have with the Anne Frank kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And some people are very concerned over. I mean, now you have this group of Republicans who may be challenging Mr. Trump for the nomination.
You think?
We'll see what happens. I mean, you have this Drew Walsh, who was a runtime Trump person. Is you know, this Joe Saramucci, or Saramucci, who was Trump's communications director for all of about 10 days. And now he needs to go. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I think it's difficult within the Republican Party, but...
Right,
yeah.
Right. And that would take a lot of nerve.
It would take... Yeah.
To be next to President Trump and act, you know, say, I want your job, and we're going to go through this debate together.
Now, that's what Bush actually said. He thinks that Trump, by March, will drop out. Because basically, polling's showing him running well behind, that he could not be reelected.
President Trump is running behind,
really? You know, here's the thing. I will just simply say this. If you look at the three states that made him the president 3 years ago,
okay,
Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania.
Okay.
In all three of those states, if you add up all the votes that Trump received, that Hillary received, and then the third-party candidates received,
right,
you take the third-party candidates and add that to the Hillary vote, a majority of the voters in all three of those states did not vote for Mr. Trump. Mm. They voted against him.
Okay.
And, again, nationally, Hillary Clinton got 48%, Donald Trump had 46%, but you had 6% of the vote going for third-party candidates altogether.
Yeah.
The biggest two were Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, and Dr. Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate.
Okay.
But let me just say this. The third-party vote in 2016 was a good 4 to 4.5% higher than usual. Usually, the third-party candidates are getting anywhere 2% to 1.5%.
Okay.
So what you had was people that, for you know, didn't care for either candidate,
right,
voted for these third-party candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, frankly, a fluke that Mr. Trump was elected. He didn't think he was going to be elected.
Oh, no, it took him over a year.
And
he was president.
You know, and I say, you know, the fact that 3 million votes fewer than Hillary Clinton, yeah, lobbyist vote. And all this idea about there were fraudulent votes, that was just malarkey. I mean, there was, you know, none of that. And,
yeah,
because
you still have Democrats saying that he did not win the election. Hillary won. Yeah. He's not our president.
So
I still hear that from certain people, you know. But, hey, we're getting ready for another election. Now, you think Biden's going to...
I believe Joe Biden will end up being the Democratic nominee for president.
You do.
Now, any number of people could be his running mate for vice president. I've heard Kamala Harris, the senator from California. Who knows?
Whatever. Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, I don't know.
And they showed like a three-way tie between her and Bernie.
Well, this is some, yeah, the poll, you know, actually, but you take a look at, I don't look at, I look at the number of polls of government average out, and Mr. Biden has a continued lead. And I really think that people feel that comfortable with him, that he would... You would restore a certain amount of sanity to what we are now in a...
Our normalcy, right?
Yeah, our normality. Maybe that's it. Whatever. So
what we're used to. You know, so, this is kind of out of our comfort zone.
This is... Really what is. Has happened these last few years has just been nothing we've ever seen before in American history.
I know.
So
never even heard of anything like this.
So,
from one day to the next, right?
Well, I mean, it's just, like I say, it's like a circus or whatever on a daily basis. You never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And frankly, with Mr. Trump, you never know from day to day or even hour to hour what he's going to say or do or whatever. And it's just, that is one of the reasons the business is a little concerned.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about it, yeah, the stock market. And they can't find their footing. Like you said,
I mean, they're just...
They don't want to bet on that, you know, put their money on that. That's sad, though, because after all, we've had this nice long reign of jobs increasing and the economy coming back up and, you know, and for it to just recession. Wow.
Well, we'll see.
Let's hope not.
Nobody hopes for a recession, but you know, the instability is what business
and like
fears.
You said, the farmers all that rain.
I mean, we've had the agricultural issues out there.
Right,
so.
And food being, you know, more expensive during the winter months. And
yeah.
So. I guess there's a lot to contend with, a lot to think about for this election season that's coming, and also 2020, where that stands. And even our own mayor is going to be up for re-election here.
It's in 2019. He's
elected
local election.
Yes.
This year.
Yes, and his chances looks pretty good.
I would think.
Doesn't even look like he's going to have a contender now, right?
Well, it will have a Republican opponent.
He will.
Kevin Norris, the council member at large. But
Do I know him?
Yeah.
I might know who he is.
So.
All right. I guess I have to have somebody. You just can't give it to him, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Can you think of anything else?
I think I've tried to hit some points here and whatever, high points. And
good points, though.
So, okay.
It's, you know, I think that was the top 10 things on the agenda as far as the nation is concerned.
Yeah.
And even locally, our local elections. And we did get a new Board of Elections. What would his position be?
Well, the director and deputy. Cindy Price is the director. She's a Democrat. And then Brian Blair is the deputy director. He's the Republican. They just came back in February. And so, and then we have new board members that were around.
All right. Well, Tim, we're out of time, believe it or not, and I have enjoyed everything that you came to share with us, and hopefully you listeners enjoyed our political historian. Like we were saying earlier, he knows his stuff, and he did not leave a stone unturned. So you have a blessed day, and
thank you
for being here, and thank you for listening to A Voice of a People Live with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. And have a nice Labor Day. Enjoy yourselves. Till next time.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio.
I'm Charlie Everson. I'll be on 10 till 12 today. And welcome your phone calls. Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act.
It's not an act.
It's a big old act.
I'm going to blow up your act.
Don't blow up my act. I really don't have an act. I just see that's how probably.
Well, Porky, you know, I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from, and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to in the cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why, during the first Jim Tressel press conference when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually? I have a very quick wit. Sometimes it's smarter than my tongue. But you know what I wish is? I wish people had a lighter touch. Do I regret I said it? Probably so. But on the other hand, I think that we need to get back to the fundamental premise of the American psyche.
I want you, who are listening today, to invest your time and energy in this radio station. I think it's an interesting experiment. We're having a lot of fun doing it. But by your support, you can possibly arrange for them to get a better heater in the studio, because we talked about this last night.
Here we go.
That space heater just isn't doing the job. I have my parka on that I wore in the car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater again.
I'm sorry. It's killing me here.
No, let me tell the story about the heat.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's get into this right away off the bat. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com. Thomas Lawn Service for all your lawn care and landscaping needs. Telephone number 740-751-1783. The WWGH Radio prize policy is as follows. You have 10 days from the day you win the prize to pick the prize up. You can only win once every 30 days. WWGH Radio staff reserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
If you were a cheetah, you could be here just like that. If you were a kangaroo, well, you'd be here in just a few hops. This is Jungle Jack Hanna.
It's a wild way to stay and play. Meet 10,000 awesome animals at the Columbus Zoo. Plus, splash all day at Zumbezi Bay with tons of rides and water slides.
So what are you waiting for?
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by Affordable Event Games, LLC. Address 141 South Main Street. Telephone number 740-262-6050. Facebook Affordable Event Games. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com. And keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. Marion Court Apartments, located on Fairfax Road, offering newly updated one-bedroom apartments with laundry room and patio. Telephone number 740-389-3462. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Florence Mabel Harding was the First Lady of the United States from 1921 to 1923, as the wife of President Warren G. Harding. Known as the Duchess, she adapted well to the White House, where she gave notably elegant parties. She was the first First Lady to vote, operate a movie camera, own a radio, hold her own press conferences, and invite movie stars to the White House.
This is Dr. Frank Field. I'm on the beach in Boca Raton, and I'm listening to WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Scott, do you remember when Hillary Clinton came to Marion in 2016?
Yes, I do. I stood outside of the Harding Hotel in the rain waiting to get an interview that didn't happen.
You know why she chose the Harding Hotel to meet?
No, I don't.
Well, they used to have a hair salon in the lobby, and she could sure use it.
Here we go again. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hey everyone, it's Weasel Boy, Weasel the Weeze. You might remember me from WNCI in Columbus. Now good for you, lucky, you won the bet. I'm going to be right back here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's going to be the Weasel Show. We're going to have huge guests, great prizes, lots of entertainment. We're going to be interactive and give away a lot of goodies. So you can listen live on the net at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. The Weasel Show is supported by Retrofoam of Central Ohio, LLC. Retrofoam doesn't cost, it pays. Telephone number is 614-664-FOAM. That's 614-664-3626. Website, www.retrofoamofcentralohio.com. And you can catch them on Facebook at Retrofoam of Cent Ohio.
Hello. If you listen and enjoy A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, help A Voice of a People to be better. A $10 donation a week pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People. And so by doing, you will have the privilege of your name, business, organization, church, or your favorite charity mentioned or announced during our broadcast and entered into a drawing which will be held weekly. Prizes will vary. I also want to say this, anonymous donators are welcome and will be respected. Remember, if you want to make A Voice of a People a better program, a $10 a week donation / pledge will support and sponsor A Voice of a People.
A Voice of a People with Linda Sims can be heard twice weekly on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Monday and Tuesday from 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m.
This is Earl Pitts-American. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address, 400 Delaware Avenue. Phone number, 740-387-9050.
At Zumbezi Bay, there are endless ways to enjoy your day. So whether you're a speedy slider, a tiny tighter, a super splasher, or a max relaxer, you'll love all our rides, tides, and water slides. Plus, admission to Zumbezi Bay gets you into the Columbus Zoo, too. So what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Learn more at columbuszoo.org.
Zumbezi Bay!
This is Adam Lepp, and you hear me talk every week about computers and politics. Yes, I do know quite a bit about those topics, but as a homeowner, I could never know enough about home repairs and improvements. However, I have great news. Join my friend D Skills every Saturday morning at 10:13 a.m. for the Skills to Envy program. Helpful tips, money-saving advice, and of course, a surprise or two. Skills to Envy, a fun and flavorful way to obtain useful information.
It's now time for WWGH News, news about people, places, and plans. Brought to you live from the WWGH Newsroom. I'm Robin Leach.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Leaders at Ohio's community colleges are praising Governor Mike DeWine and members of the General Assembly for their leadership in passing the new state budget, which they say has strengthened workforce development programs in the state to better prepare Ohioans for careers in the fast-changing workplace. Ohio is stronger today thanks to this budget, said Jack Hershey, president and CEO of the Ohio Association of Community Colleges. By increasing investments in community colleges while also providing more opportunities for Ohioans who may not want to seek a college degree to earn an industry-recognized credential or short-term certificate, this budget puts us in a better position to put more Ohioans on the path to rewarding new careers. Among important measures adopted in the new state budget is a 3% increase in Ohio's performance-based funding formula for higher education, an incentive for colleges and universities that reward student success and program completion, since that formula was put in place in 2014. Ohio community colleges have achieved an 8.5% increase in the number of degrees and one-year certificates awarded, along with a 22% increase in short-term certificate awards. The new two-year budget appropriates $30 million to provide micro-credentials or short-term training to current and prospective workers. Investing in degrees, certificates, and short-term credentials that lead to great jobs in growing fields is a win-win for students, employers, and our community, said Dr. Ryan McCall, president of Marion Technical College. This is a smart choice by our governor and state lawmakers to focus on skills students need to succeed in the workforce. According to Dr. McCall, Marion Technical College looks forward to carrying out the vision of the DeWine Eusted administration and the General Assembly leaders who clearly understand the important role our colleges play in Ohio's workforce development efforts. To complement the DeWine administration's increasing focus on workforce training, Ohio community colleges recently created the Ohio Workforce League, a statewide team focused on strengthening career readiness training efforts and staying ahead of emerging job trends. The Ohio Workforce League will also help ensure that community colleges are doing all they can to help the state meet its ambitious attainment goals that call for 65% of residents ages 25 to 64 to have a degree, license, or certificate by 2025. The OACC, representing the presidents and trustees of Ohio's 23 public two-year institutions, works to advance our community colleges through policy advocacy and professional development. For more information, please visit ohiocommunitycolleges.org.
For the Marion, Ohio weather team, I'm Zach Fuller. Rain will stick around today. I'll have your latest forecast coming up in your Weather Minute from the Marion, Ohio News Network. Did you know on this day in 1893, the first of three great hurricanes that year struck South Carolina, drowning more than 1,000 people in a tidal wave at Charleston? Now you know with Marion, Ohio Weather and the Marion, Ohio News Network. From the Marion, Ohio Weather Center, this is your Weather Minute on WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion and online at WWGH1071.com. Tuesday in the Marion area, we'll see a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms scattered throughout the day. Cloudy conditions, a high near 79 degrees. Tonight, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms mainly before midnight. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low around 60 degrees. For your Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 77. Thursday, sunny skies, a high near 76. And Friday, mostly sunny, a high near 80. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com. For the Marion, Ohio News Network, I'm Zach Fuller on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 FM in Marion, and online at WWGH1071.com.